Let's go on a spree through TV land.
Our era, the era of television.
Yes, sir, it's got everything, this TV.
Did the dinosaurs not drink wine?
Hey, riddle me this. Did the dinosaurs drink wine? Yes or no?
Hashtag millennials trying to figure out paleo.
Let me ask you this. If you only had a spear to hunt with, and a couple of rocks to your name.
Could you open up a bottle of rosé?
You could knock off the top of one of those rocks.
Technically, the caveman could have opened a bottle of six-point beer.
Absolutely.
With a rock in some kind of leverage device.
I feel like we need to shift our axes. Yes, the caveman, it's actually, we've studied the wall drawings and discovered some very interesting things. They actually were able to open a can of beer with simple tools, simple machines.
Simple machines.
An intricate system of pulleys, a rod and hammer, sometimes just a whale's tooth.
All you need is a very simple, one of the simple machines we often forget about is the wedge.
The wedge is the simplest of simple machines.
Yeah. The wedge was delicately propped underneath the kip, and
in them just
tipped on
a little
lightly,
bit of pressure
and
velocity
right over. It was very accessible to the caveman.
Very
and
accessible.
So an amendment to the paleo rules would be anything that can be opened by
with a wedge
is accessible.
So if you follow the paleo diet today. Mm-hmm. You can drink anything that you can open with a wedge.
Yeah.
A wedge and a rock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So actually when I go to bars now, so that I can kind of try to stick to this paleo diet.
You bring your own wedge.
Tell me, so what I do...
Like a doorstop.
I should just bring a doorstop with me.
And a hammer.
I just bring a large rock. Just a rock. Large rock.
That's more traditional.
Absolutely. And... so when I go to a bar, I have to make sure that it's an
unopened
bottle.
You have to tell them, I want an unopened bottle.
Unopened bottle, so if I ask, for a
tap. Do the bartenders ever give you shit? They're like, hey, what do you want?
You know what? In this day and age of kind of like the sensitivity that people have around food needs, I can actually get a lot of empathy depending on what part of Brooklyn you're in.
Shocking.
Shocking. Williamsburg more so, Bushwick less so.
Shocking. Yes.
But yeah, people are pretty accommodating. Especially, I don't know if you've ever heard of these paleo, I don't know what to call it. I'll call it a den. The places where you can go and they have just like raw meat.
Is that like Inception where you like go in and they hook you up to some sort of a machine and you go into another world and you're just eating raw cow?
Yeah. So it's basically where you go. I mean, when you say other world, you mean like church basement.
No, but I mean you like plug into
something. Oh, you plug in.
When
Matrix
style. When you say the word den, a lot of things come to mind.
You're right. Opium den.
Some sort of den where you're going down with a lot of like-minded, wayward souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who do P90X and eat raw meat. Yeah. So if you kind of hit up those meat dens.
Yeah, meat den.
You'll get a lot of hot tips about bars you can go to that have... they're organic.
Oh, so they know.
Yeah.
They know
the places to go. They know the places to go.
Well, actually, the concept of the meat den comes from ancient times when several cavemen would come together.
In a community of sorts.
A community, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Under the cover of night.
Under the cover of night.
And also the cover of a canopy of trees. To discover... Mm-hmm. The types of meat that pleased them the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually where Darwinism comes from.
When the biodiversity was at its peak.
Yes. Many other meats used to exist.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just poultry and carne asada. There was more out there. And it was gradually whittled down to what we know now.
So I actually think that we have so I think people who got like a standard American education, people who got a standard American education,
Reading, writing, arithmetic.
The three R's, you know. You know. And we grew up in a very well-educated county of New Jersey. Goodness. So I think that we represent the...
We don't represent the middle.
No, that's what
all.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm
we
saying,
represent the...
I'm saying, like, the higher echelon of the American education.
Oh, man.
And which is disappointing because of the lack of knowledge that I feel like I have to say. Because I think, like, our ability to understand what existed at what time period is very, very off.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not historians. So.
No, but I think that, like, the I mean, lack like,
of... Who cares, right? Who cares? Like, we're not historians. It's not going to, like, help me today in my job.
So therein lies, I think.
No, that's not true. I learned a lot about the Egyptians, the Romans,
mm-hmm.
the Greeks.
But you're talking... But yeah, and I get it. That's like ancient, like... human history. That's like, but I think like,
we oh, you're talking about we didn't learn enough about dinosaurs.
Well, I don't even think like, oh, like I know how many teeth.
You're talking
a
about Mesozoic,
has.
Paleozoic, Endozoic. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So I'm saying that I think that our ability to understand like Earth's history, as in like what existed like first, second, third, fourth, like.
Even, I feel like I have a good grasp on that, but maybe that's. Maybe I just think I have a... You're making me question my knowledge and understanding of the Earth.
So here is... So I will say I took... what's that class where you learn about?
the History of the Earth.
No, but what's
101.
That, what's that discipline called where you learn about... Anthropology.
The History of People.
You know, how we got here.
People
101.
Over time. .com.
The Earth from
slash
the
org.
The Earth 1.0.
Yeah.
I think like I didn't understand. I don't think I understood anything until I took an anthropology 101. And I was like, "What? People did not exist when the dinosaurs existed?"
Well, you know that.
I don't know that I knew
okay,
that.
Okay, well, Carolyn, I think we're in different places with this topic because I feel like I have a good grasp on this.
Really?
Yes, because first there was nothing. There was like, you know, the meteor hit, we split off, everything had to take thousands and thousands and thousands of years to cool.
Okay.
And then I'm just gonna walk you through it. Then
what do you mean cool?
Because the Earth like split off from something else. It was like the result of a crash. So it like was all like
hot.
Molten lava. Yeah, and like it had to cool and separate it into earth and water. And then it was just bacteria for a long, long time. Like, just very, like, microscopic organisms. Like, for way longer than humans have existed, it was just microorganisms. And then eventually those organisms grew into, like, smaller, like, algae kind of thing. And then, like certain sea creatures, like, began to exist. And then eventually those sea creatures, like, began to go on land. And that was, like, reptilian animals and stuff. And that's why dinosaurs were the first creatures, because they came from sea creatures.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what I think I thought was happening.
Yeah. And I never took an anthropology class. Thank you very much.
So where did you learn all that shit?
I don't know. I'm very smart and perceptive and...
You're perceptive?
I just inferred.
I guess I just looked at all of my winged creatures on Earth now and I said, I see you. I see your soul.
I see that you once was a pterodactyl.
A pterodactyl. I guess I'm just very perceptive.
I go to the beach and I look around. I look at a horseshoe crab and I say, wow, you must have existed before I did. Ain't no way. I was here first.
You look like you know a lot.
You have preceded me.
You've seen a lot of stuff. You've seen things.
You've seen things.
So I think I thought that bacteria became people.
Oh my God, Carolyn.
No, I don't like...
No, that's insane.
That's not insane.
No, let's take a Twitter poll. Like, that's insane. Carolyn, nobody thinks that. Humans came from monkeys, obviously.
So I knew that. I know that too after this anthropology class. After this anthropology class where I learned that we share 96% of our DNA with chimpanzees.
Of course.
And I was like, what? That high? I would have put it in like the 70s.
I think it's because I watched a lot of like documentary. Like, I watched a lot of, like, PBS and History Channel stuff when I was a kid.
Okay, I watched The Lost World. Did you ever watch that show?
No.
It was on Sundays before church, and...
Is this, like, VeggieTales? Like, what are you about to tell me?
It actually kind of is. So, The Lost World was about a family... But I don't know where the mom was. It was just a single dad and his kids.
You know, the hardworking single dad.
Just this hardworking single dad and his kids who got in a time machine and accidentally got, like, stuck in prehistoric times.
Okay, and this is how you learned about all this.
Well, this is, like, what I knew about dinosaurs because, like, they were living, you know, Robinson Crusoe style, like, in a tree.
Okay, right.
And I watched this, like, every Sunday before church. So I think the combination of, like, biblical stories and The Lost World.
It's a lot of...
Gave me a very skewed perception. Because I would watch, before church, we would watch The Lost World and I would watch Xena. And I
think... Both equally valid and true.
And I think I was given... Yeah, they were very alternate realities. And then the Bible is just another alternate reality. And so I think because of that, I had a lot of mixed ideas of how the earth was formed and who walked on the earth when. So I will say for myself... Until I was actually...
For myself.
Until I was literally doing a pre-K unit on dinosaurs and had to, like, go on the internet and find out, like, that not all dinosaurs existed at the same time. Did you know that?
Yes,
okay, sure. You guess you did know that.
I guess I feel really, like, great about myself right now because I didn't realize I was such a freaking expert compared to some of my compatriots.
I'm an educated human and No, I didn't. I don't think I understood that.
I feel like you know more about World War II, and I know more about prehistoric times.
And you know more about every other year in the history of humans.
I guess I know more about all the millions of years that happened before the Earth, and you know a lot about World War II.
And you know about, like, that 10-year period where World War I turned into World War II. Yeah, I guess you're right. The interwar years and World War II, I've got a lock on.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I remember as a kid watching this documentary where they, like, find this skeleton in the ice. And it's like...
Encino Man?
No, it's not Encino Man. It's... And then it's Brendan Fraser. And it's hilarious. And he tries to get a Slurpee. No. They find this guy in the ice. And he's like the... He's like... I forget what they called him. But he was like the creature in between monkey and man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there's, like, several iterations of, like, you know, from monkey to man. And, like, this was one of them.
There's Neanderthal, something else.
Yeah, I don't know. It was something like that. And they found this, it was, like, the pre-man. It was, like,
Homo sapien.
Yeah.
Homo something else.
Something homo.
Homo erotica.
No homo, but it was a great documentary. But, yeah, it was very cool. And I remember, like, watching it with my dad. And I must have been, like, 10 or 11. And we were just both like, whoa. Like, the Iceman. like, really into it. I don't know. I guess I was into it as a kid.
Yeah. I don't think I saw a documentary until I was, like, in college.
Well, I'm an only child. So I was, like, raised on, like, very, like... Like, I watched PBS. Like, that's all we watched.
Okay.
It was, like, PBS, and then, like, my parents being like, you should see this very classic movie. That was, like, all we did. I remember one time we...
They're like, Liz, I know you're only 5, but this is Dr. Zhivago.
No, literally, but literally,
yeah.
Actually, yes. I remember we watched 2001 Space Odyssey when I was, like, in middle school, and my dad was like, this is the greatest movie ever made. And then another time we watched, like, you know, Casablanca,
mm-hmm.
And it was like, this is the greatest movie ever made. But no, what I was going to say before
was... We watched Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, that goes up. Well, again, World War II, you're just an expert. But no, we were sitting and we were listening to, and I forget who the composer is, but it's like The Planets. Have you ever heard that? It's like this orchestral piece, and there's a piece for every planet. And it's this gorgeous... I'm sure you've heard it, but you just didn't know that's what it was. It's like this stunning, gorgeous orchestral masterpiece. And it's like each planet has its own, like, suite.
It sounds beautiful. Have they had to eliminate Pluto's...
No, but literally... I remember we were listening to it on our, like, old school speakers. And Yeah, I guess this is what you do as an only child, I guess. It was like I was just sitting there with like me and my parents were just silently listening to the planets. And then all of a sudden, during Pluto, there was a power outage. So it was already frightening because this is like massive, like orchestral, like booming, like very scary and eerie sounding because like Pluto's the farthest away. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's like, or whatever. And then all of a sudden it was like, and everything just fucking stopped. And all the lights went out. Like, as a child, can you imagine? I was like, I was like, it's ending! Like, we're in another universe! Like, I was like, we've been transported through space! I was like, freaking out! And it was like the most powerful moment.
That's amazing. And then there was no air.
Like, thanks, Mom and Dad.
Thanks so much for that searing memory. Well, a less emotional moment around Pluto was that... So, we always have a unit about space every year with my five-year-olds. And... there are all of these, YouTube is just a fucking wonder because they have like 1,000 songs and videos about the planets. But all of the new ones exclude Pluto.
Of course.
Obviously. And I was going through and like, I found one of these like 80s CDs that like exists on YouTube where it's called, it's in one of those like 80s.
Do you think it was on Laserdisc and then like transported it to YouTube?
Yes, easily. And it's just called The Galaxy. And, like, it's, like, in blue. And the font is so 80s. Like, I saw it and immediately I was like, oh, my God, Rafi is featured somewhere in here. Like, he's on here somewhere. And their planet song had Pluto in it. And when the kids were listening to it, it said, like, you know, and the last one was like, and Pluto. And they were like, Pluto? What's Pluto?
Oh, my God. And you were like, like your brain exploded.
It was nuts.
They you really like, have to be a child of the 90s to believe that Pluto is a planet because Pluto only was what, quote unquote, discovered when we were very, very young.
Is that true?
And then it was like undiscovered when we were like a few years ago.
Wait, really? I thought Pluto was always there. No? Well, like, I mean, I know it's always been there.
Even
from
when
the
those
beginning.
Microorganisms were crawling around.
I guess home was just a place. Home was just a place you had to know about. It was always there.
In your heart.
It's always been there.
And you were there.
And you were there. And Pluto was there.
And Pluto was a planet.
Wait, I didn't know that. So well, our parents didn't learn that Pluto was a planet.
I don't think so.
Really?
But I will say we can't fact check on the show because of our integrity policy.
That's true.
But
we haven't brought it up in a while, but in case you all are wondering why we don't get certain facts right.
We have an integrity policy right here.
We have an integrity policy where we cannot and will not look up and fact check things. Except I will say we will fact check for episodes previous.
Yeah, well, it's just in the moment you can't fact check.
In the moment. In the moment we can't fact check. One of the things we can go back and fact check really quick is that I don't even know if it came up, but we talked about the mummy significantly in our last episode.
That's true.
And one of the things that I came to realize, due to the knowledge that Liz has about the mummy, is that Billy Zane was not in the mummy.
Billy Zane was not in the mummy. If you type that into Google, literally just as I said it, you will also learn.
You can go to Google search and write
Billy Zane was not in the mummy.
And it'll come up with the picture of the actor who was Billy Zane in the mummy.
The actor who played Billy Zane as the mummy. In the mummy.
His name in the mummy, the character's name is just Billy Zane.
And it's like in parentheses, the mummy.
So that'll come up. So please do a comparative viewing because we did.
Yeah, we encourage everyone who listens to our show to do their own fact checking. We don't want to prescribe any sort of worldview or influence anyone in some sort of biases about their existence. You know, we want you to educate yourselves and be empowered to know that Billy Zane wasn't in the mummy and that Pluto may or may not be a planet in your lifetime.
So if you're ever in a situation where it's like gun to your head, what movie was Billy Zane in?
Just say Zoolander.
Just say Zoolander because he wasn't in The Mummy. And we all know for a fact he was in Zoolander.
For damn sure.
One bottle of rosé down, a thousand to go.
Oh my god.
Gun to your head. I know I say that a lot, but it's because some of
my you want it to create a high stakes scenario.
You're right. So, gun to your head, if you could only drink one...
Ugh, it wouldn't be rosé.
Okay, but just let me finish. Let me goddamn finish. So, one of my favorite games is Desert Island, where... The thought of being... So I guess it's Magical Desert Island because...
Magical
Desert Island because I love this idea.
You mean Lost?
Yeah, Lost. I like to play Lost. where you have to think of like one thing that you like would have to bring or have on an island.
And there's like a magical tree or something that keeps producing this
exactly,
thing.
Exactly. So if like...
like gin and tonics just for thousands of years.
Chronically. So if there was like one non-alcoholic drink you could have every day, other than water, you get water,
of course,
standard. But like, yeah, I would get
skin honestly, milk. Like water would be my choice anyway.
Okay, but you already get water. What's your other non-alcoholic drink? Non-alcoholic.
Probably like orange juice or seltzer. But that's too close to water.
I was going
to
say...
I'd probably get orange
juice. Let's say you get a water and a soda stream.
Like, I find a way.
Yeah, you have a soda stream, okay? What's your other drink?
No, orange juice.
Orange juice, okay. Mine's skim milk. So if you had to have an alcoholic drink, and it's the only alcoholic drink you could have for the rest of your times on Lost Island.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny about these scenarios? It's like... I understand the nature of the question. And it's like, you can interpret it in two ways. You can interpret it as in, like, if I'm actually on a desert... Like, there's certain drinks that if I could only drink one drink for the rest of my life, like, in this world, something I would pick. Mm-hmm. But then in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I'm on a desert island. It's hot. It's XYZ. I'm, like, thinking too much about the island. And probably what you're really getting at is just what... is your favorite drink. But I'm thinking about like the parameters of the island. I'm thinking like, well, I might choose this, but if I'm on like a very hot desert island, I would probably choose beer. I would probably choose like a pilsner, like a light pilsner, because on an island, that's what I would want. I wouldn't want to be drinking like freaking Tanqueray and tonics.
You're right. I think what I'm trying to get at is, let's say on this island there's an air-conditioned place for you to drink this
there's
drink.
There's like a lounge.
There's a lounge. We have a tiki bar. But it's at this so tiki strange. Bar that has plenty of aerated
when
space.
When can I go? When can I go?
But unfortunately at this tiki bar there's only one option.
Yeah.
And so the thought is like, not just what's your favorite, because your favorite could be something you drink.
No, I know what you understand. I know, I understand what you're saying.
Yo comprendo what you
Yo entiendo lo que estás diciendo. No, I think I would go with gin and tonic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's refreshing.
Because I think it's like, it's like, I'm not always ordering gin and tonics, but like, in this scenario, in this air-conditioned lounge.
Yeah.
I think it's a solid drink. It's not like unique and crazy enough that I would get sick of it.
Yeah.
And it's also not, like, overwhelmingly bland. Like, I think it would be, like, a good... Like, I'm not going to be drinking, like, vodka sodas. Like, I'll kill myself. I'll shoot myself. But I would drink Tanqueray.
I'll
tonics.
Murder myself and everyone that lives on this island. I swear to God.
It doesn't even have to be Tanqueray. I'm sorry. Tanqueray is sponsoring this episode. No, it could be any, like, fine gin.
Welcome to episode zero, sponsored by Tanqueray.
Right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Please don't sue us.
No, it could be any fine gin and tonic.
Any fine gin. A Hendrix of sorts.
Yeah.
A blue sapphire.
Or like an artisanal gin.
That's nice. I love Desert Island so much, I would want to make a show about it.
Yes.
I would want to make a show where, like, everyone had to choose, like, one thing. Like, there was some kind of, like, in the beginning, like, it's like you have to choose, like, one of everything.
Yeah.
And, like,
there's... Oh, my God. And then they make the people actually go. It's like...
Exactly.
That's so much better than Survivor.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, like, what? 10 people?
Yeah.
And, like, gradually they get eliminated. Like, but I think I would last till the end. Because I'd be like, well, I have my Tanqueray and tonic and my Italian subs, so I can live forever.
I'm a creature of habit, so I know I'd win.
I could live forever on Tanqueray and tonics and Italian subs.
Yeah.
And what, you get one CD or something?
And one,
what's,
yeah.
What's your Desert Island album?
My Desert Island album? I already know it.
Jock Jams one.
Immediately. No, it's Whitney Houston's 1988 compilation, self-entitled Whitney. I already know it.
Unbelievable. I guess I would bring the planets.
That's a good one. That's very
I'd never get bored. It would be very, like, intellectually stimulating. You'd have to bring a book, too. What book would you bring?
Harry Potter, book 4.
Done. Oh, nice. Oh, see, if I did a Harry Potter, I would bring book 5. But I probably wouldn't do a Harry Potter. I'd probably bring, like, something, like, crazy, like Moby Dick, so that... If I'm on this desert island forever and ever, I would need something, like, very complex that I would have to challenge myself to memorize.
Liz, you'd never read it.
I'd read, like, the first 5 pages and be like, I...
You'd be like, call me Ishmael. I'm done with this shit. Literally, you'd be the only person who didn't read their book.
But I'd be walking around with a Tanqueray and tonic, just like, hey... Call me Ishmael.
Call me Ishmael. They're like, you read page 1 and that's it, didn't you? You didn't even finish your goddamn book.
Are you allowed to barter items with other people?
No, that's the thing. And if you, do, you get... And
you,
if
get
you,
shot.
You get...
You get sniped on sight.
You get brought out half a mile out into sea and then fucking murdered.
With a coconut.
With a coconut. They bash you on the head and drag your body and leave it there. Yeah.
It's a very intense reality show. There's a very intense waiver that you have to sign.
You sign it and every member of your family signs it.
It's a very high stakes.
You need a
waiver.
Guarantor. It's almost like getting a lease
it's
in New,
like,
York.
Yeah, exactly. It's just about the same type of pressure. You need 20 people to sign.
I think it'd be really successful.
What would we call this show?
I would call
You can't call it Desert Island.
I can't call it Desert Island?
No.
Okay, I guess I would call it Lost 2.
No. All right, well, I'll see you on the island.
See you on the island. I'm bringing lots of chewy bars.
Oh, no. Is that your food? That's your food.
That could be my snack.
All right. Well, we should form a secret alliance and not get caught.
And not get caught? No, you get caught. It's like
Hunger
Games.
No.
They have cameras everywhere.
Maybe that's how I would die. I would die if you were on the island. Otherwise, I would just stay isolated and Fox face it and fucking win. And I'd be holding a sub at the end and be like, you motherfuckers!
You motherfuckers, I'm going to keep eating this for the rest of my life!
It's like, but the thing is, they don't just give me a sub every day. They give me, like, a 30-foot sub at the beginning. And they're like, let's see how long she lasts.
Oh no, she ate half her sub and she hasn't... She ate half her sub on the first day and she didn't read any of her book.
It's because she got too drunk. She, like... She drank an entire bottle of gin, so she ate, like, almost all of that 30-foot sub. And she's only read 3 lines of
that. That was supposed to last her the whole month.
You're right. I would be my own demise.
You'd be left eating pages from Moby Dick.
Hey, listen. Those nautical chapters, you could easily skip over those and just eat them.